Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 328, part 1, Rejoice, part 1. Today is Friday, January 24th, 2014. Happy birthday, Kelly and Julie and Stephen and Don. Let's go.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message then is rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Well, when do we rejoice? Rejoice. Now listen to this. Don't get tied up in anything. No going to the restroom. Rejoice evermore. What's that mean? It means always. Rejoice evermore. That's what's kept me alive down here. It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. See, God has made your rejoicing a duty. This isn't something that you might do. Are you doing your duty? Are you rejoicing? Well, why not? You listening on the radio, why aren't you rejoicing? Well, you don't know the trouble I've seen. Well, if you are rejoicing, see, you can get lost. And listen, they say that this time of the year more suicides are committed. That's why I'm giving this message out on the radio. You can get lost in your rejoicing. Now, I know that to be a fact. Demonstrate that rejoicing. 32nd Psalm says, shout for joy. How happy anyway are you about having all of your sins forever forgotten? Totally wiped off the books. No rerun movies when you get to heaven. All sins have been, not glossed over, covered, eliminated. Now, of course, the legalistic preacher doesn't want to believe that, but that's what the Word says. And that, my friends, is cause enough for rejoicing. No one's going to know all of my sins. Aren't you glad about that today? Put your hands up. You're glad. Everybody doesn't know every thought that's in your heart. Glory to God. But anyway, because Jesus suffered, we then are encouraged, commanded, let's say enabled to rejoice evermore. Psalm 31 and 7, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. Why do you rejoice in his mercy? It's past mercies, the present mercies that you're receiving right now, and the future mercies that are yours forever. Now, isn't that something to kick your heels up about? Or, listen, radio audience, don't you really believe, see, if you really believe that we could rejoice evermore and all of our sins are forever forgotten and that we're on our way to heaven to live there eternally, if we really believe that, why can't we rejoice? See, that's where the crux is. That's where it's at. If we don't really believe it, we can't rejoice evermore. We are totally known of God, the Bible says. And even though he totally knows us, he says, go ahead and rejoice. The victory is already won. You don't have to do anything for it. All I want you to do is rejoice. Well, I think only a man of sorrows and his chosen apostles can give such a word. Rejoice evermore. See, because their rejoice has been tested as if by fire. Friends, if you don't go through anything, and God hasn't taken you through anything, and you're afraid of the challenge, what reason have you for rejoicing? Oh my God, I'm so happy today. Our bags... all we got to do in our bags downstairs is put butter and cheese and then go on with it. They're so heavy now you can hardly even pick them up. 5,000 of them. And we started rejoicing when we opened up the bags. Just open them up nice and I said, open them up so they got a wide mouth. Get the Holy Spirit air in them. Whoop. Open them up. Put them on the floor. And God has filled them and we're still filling them up. Today, after church, if you want to spend a half hour or so, we're going to put all the butter and cheese in. I'm going to open the doors up so it gets nice and cool in here. And we're going to rejoice evermore. Isn't that something to be excited about? Glory to God. I'll tell you what. You want to rejoice? Take one of your Christmas presents that you get and give it away to somebody. Well, I don't want to hurt other people's feelings. It's a present. You can give it away. You receive Jesus, you believe that he saves you forever, why don't you give that away? You know what will happen when we really start to believe? You start to rejoice. Evermore, hallelujah. Isn't that a good word? I mean, we ought to rejoice that there's such a command to rejoice. Glory to God, we can rejoice. I think it's so wonderful we have a God of rejoicing that tells his children, rejoice, hallelujah, sing praises. Well, you listen to spring, don't you? Bird songs out there. Well, it'll be happening. Sound of flowers busting out all over. Isn't there a song like that? Love is busting out all over. Trees unfolding new leaves and they're saying, rejoice always. I believe that. Is that crazy? Rejoice always. Who can resist the voice of our beloved when he says, rejoice evermore? And I think Paul in the Bible speaks of rejoicing as a personal, as then a present, permanent duty to be carried out by God's people. Whoever is going to want to become a Christian if we're not rejoicing in what we have. When you get a brand new car, don't you rejoice? And everybody else wants one then too, don't they? Start to rejoice. Now, it's not optional whether we will have sorrow or we'll rejoice. That's not optional. Do you tell your children, well, how do you want to feel today? Do you want to be mean and miserable? Or do you want to rejoice? Well, you know they're going to take the mean and miserable to make you mean and miserable, don't you? Isn't that right? No, you have to give them a command. Hey, lighten up on me, will you? Change your face. Give me some encouragement for feeding you. Give me some encouragement. I mean, is my fault that you got jilted? Teenagers I'm talking to. Do mom a favor this morning. Get out of bed without me yelling 14 times and begging you to get out of bed. Rejoice evermore. You're going to get this bowl of oatmeal right over your head. You have to command it sometimes. You have to command. Down here, I command people. I say, hey, that's no kind of face to wear. Don't make it so we have to disinfect the whole area because of your presence. No, preachers, if you're listening to me on the radio right now, you got someone in your audience that sits out there with a face that's hanging down, dragging it back and forth through the audience. Tell them, hey, lift that face up. Goodness sakes, rejoice evermore. Why not? Can you give me one good reason why you shouldn't rejoice evermore? Can you? Not one, really. Maybe you don't like me. That's no reason for not rejoicing. Maybe you think I'm crazy. You listening on the radio. What's that got to do with your rejoicing? I'm going to rejoice. You aren't going to turn me off. I know better. I have a choice. I can either be a glum person or I can be a person that's rejoicing. I choose to rejoice, whether you like it or not. And if that makes you mad, that's your problem. Now, you're listening on the radio. I am going to teach you by the Word of God that it is impossible to be around someone that's rejoicing and not rejoice with them. That is, if they're persistent. Believe me, I'm persistent. Maybe you out in the audience out there see some glum chum, I'll come right out in the audience and I will make you rejoice. Close all the doors and windows. These people are going to be happy by the time they leave here. Not me. No, see, God has pinned us down. He has cornered us. And he says, now I want, can you imagine God cornering you and saying, I want you to rejoice? I think we should tell our children that sometimes. Mommy wants you to rejoice in a corner. What do you think? Scripturally speaking, do you want me to chasten you? Or do you choose to rejoice? There's no choice. Maybe you have a teenager that's walking around like, hey, step on eggshells. I ain't feeling too good today. Quarantine that teenager. I know I'm speaking to somebody out there. I can feel that radio bouncing back to me. No, he's given us a positive injunction. Rejoice evermore. Now, I think some things are to be done at one time and some things to be done at another. But rejoicing isn't one of them. It says rejoice evermore. Impossible, you say? You have no choice in the matter. God has given you a command to rejoice evermore. In fact, it must become a habit with you. Well, some have the habit of griping forevermore, don't they? Don't they? You ever been around a person that gripes? They have a habit of griping. They gripe about this, and they gripe about that. You ask them to do something, and they gripe. Would you clean your room? And they gripe. Isn't that right? Well, how about her? And she says, and the little ones are probably like 10 years younger. And they learn how to gripe from the oldest gripe. Maybe the mother's a gripe. And so you have the gripe family. You ever been around the gripe family? They're always griping all the time. You don't ask them to do something, then they gripe. You ask them to do something, then they gripe. And these are the ones that don't know the commandment, rejoice evermore. And the devil tells them they will get more attention if they gripe, if they moan and groan. Don't give them attention. What a lie. Because a griper has to continually and constantly always gather a fresh group to gripe to. Once a month or once a year, they got to gather a whole new group. That's why they move from church to church. Here come to gripe. And finally, I think they end up in the griper's club. Boy, would I hate to pastor a church full of gripes. The ones that have ended up all going to the same church because they have one thing in common. To gripe. And they make very undependable friends. Because you may be the next one on their gripe list. See, the Lord has given us the beginning, the middle, the first and the end, and the last, rejoice evermore. Now, I think some things being once done, you can stop doing them. But your rejoicing has no end. See, if you build a new habit in rejoicing, then you got that habit of rejoicing, just like you had that habit of griping. Besides, like I said on Friday night, what right do we have to manipulate people with our own mood switches? That's why the self-righteous attitude, and that's all it is, folks, is an attitude, is so awful. It's used to manipulate people. Don't use your mood switches to manipulate. Oh, she's feeling good today. And you kind of sneak up on this person. I wonder how she's feeling today. Did she have her coffee? Did her hair turn out all right? Is she satisfied with her hair? Some people, their whole day is turned off if their hair don't turn out right. Praise God, I don't have any. One less thing to gripe about. How's my hair? How do I look? And the whole thing is, you know, you look fine. You just tell, you have to compliment. You look fine. Baby, you look great. Baby, honey, sweetie, darling, your hair is fine. You look wonderful, sweetheart. You're just saying that. I hate my face. I hate my body. I hate myself. I hate you. You know, a lot of times people rejoice when those kids leave home. Oh, 18, come on. David says in Psalm 5 and 11, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice, let them ever shout for joy. Joy is the privilege of the believer. The eternal God is your well. So that you have music in your hearts in Psalm 20 and 5. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up banners. Doesn't that sound like something? How many of you are going to go home and set up banners? What are you setting up banners for? I'm rejoicing in God's salvation, thy salvation. The Lord will fulfill thy petitions in thy salvation. See, it's not yours. It's his salvation, and he gives it to you. Salvation is of God alone, and he's made you joint heirs by giving you it. Doesn't our not being sure of our victory show up all of the time? If you're sure of your victory, man, oh man, you're going to walk a lot lighter. When you're sure of yourself, you're going to walk a lot lighter. Right? Say amen, somebody. When you're really sure of yourself, you're going to walk lighter, you're going to talk lighter, you're going to act lighter, you're going to be lighter. Are you not sure of your victory? I'm sure that I'm saved once and forever and for always, so I ever rejoice. You mean you're always happy? Oh, I have periodic slumps. But then I remember, why am I slumping? Why am I griping? Oh, I just think I'll rejoice. I decide to. How many here want to decide, right now today, decide to rejoice? I don't care what kind of situation you're in now, it doesn't matter. I've been in all situations. At one time in my life, I was on Skid Row. Another time in my life, I was at the top of the pile. I know that. But you got to know how to rejoice. How to rejoice evermore. That's all you have. Don't examine it and ruin it. Let's see. Let's check it out in the mirror. Rejoice. Whee! Rejoice. Don't get so charismatic that you have to go in front of the mirror and practice, or your friends will say, boy, does that person ever know how to rejoice? Rejoice, rejoice, huh? See, that's where people think it is, how they look. Oh, that helps. Believe me, you cannot hide your rejoicing when you're really rejoicing in the Lord. You can't hide it. Something you can't hide. They might even call you a fool. But then again, the Bible says, be a fool, but be a fool for Christ's sake. Whew. I guess I'm a big fool here, aren't I? But anyway, it's his salvation, but it's ours to receive and ours to rejoice in. And we should fixedly, folks, resolve that come what may, that we shall rejoice in the saving arm of the Lord that hasn't been shortened. And so here in this psalm, before their king went into battle, they felt sure of victory. And before our king takes us into any battle, we should be sure of our victory. I got to talking to some folks downstairs from different churches, and there was a lot of them here. Groups of 50 were coming in. And we started talking about the mission and about this and about that and so on. I said, well, we're like a ship that's heavy laden in the water. And our props are out because a lot of times the lack of funds, but we've still got all of these food items. And at any given moment, someone could shoot a large bill at us and just about sink us like Minigasco. Bless her old heart. Already kilowatt. So you see, we do need finances, but I rejoice evermore, even though I'm out here dead in the water. Because the God of my salvation is going to reach out a strong arm and pull me ashore. God will fill all these bags. God will give us the victory. And I'm not talking about positive thinking. I think positive thinking is positively stinking. Don't try to think yourself into victory. See, unbelief begins weeping for the funeral before the man is dead. Why then should not faith commence singing and shouting before the dance of victory begins? We are ready right now in the mission to totally double everything we're doing. And there's 12,000 bags a month going out of here right now. Totally, did you hear what I said? Totally double. Well, we've gone this far by faith. Why stop to worry about the 12 baskets we left over there? Oh, we left our baskets full of bread over there, Lord. Remember the ones, the miracle and everything? Wait, should we go back and get them? I mean, buds are beautiful and promises not yet fulfilled are worthy to be admired, aren't they? Why not rejoice in the bud? Why not rejoice that the seed has caused to prosper and it's sticking up a little bit above the ground? I think if joy then were more general among the Lord's people, God then would be more glorified among men. I mean, to say the happiness of us, the subjects, is the honor of the king. And it says, in the name of the Lord, we will set up banners. Well, here's a banner. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Here's a banner over here. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Wow. Are you hearing this? Wow. It's saying we wave a flag of victory over the fallen adversary. And it also says the Lord will fulfill all thy petition. And so then, going on with the message, rejoicing has no end. Rejoice evermore. And so it steps right in the many, many, many precepts. Notice then from the 14th verse, Paul packs together a number of duties. Now this is important. This is the part, the meat of the message. For the Christians, for the ministers and members of the church, towards one another, exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble, support the weak, be patient towards all men. And so we're supposed to do things in according to the occasion as it arises. See, you have plenty to do. That's what will keep you rejoicing when you have something to do. You show me a teenager that isn't rejoicing, it's a teenager that doesn't have something to do. I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. I don't care. What do you want to do? I don't. Here it is. Here it is. Comfort the feeble. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Maybe in your school there's someone that's weak. Maybe there's someone in your school that has buck teeth. And a rooster tail. And a wart. With a hair on the wart. And everybody kind of makes fun of the way they walk and the way they talk. You want to get happy? Shore them up. You want to have something to do? Feed my sheep. Teenagers, if you're listening, and if you can hear me at all, go on out and do something. And then you're going to have something to rejoice about. But if you don't do anything, if you're not busy, you can't rejoice evermore. Well, see, I'm 80 years old, sir. I can't do those kind of things. I'm 90 years old. I can't do those things. I don't believe that. My dad was 87 years old. No one told him not to chase buses, and he'd run them down. So he could go off and drink coffee with his Greek friends. Yeah, run them down. Run a block and a half. My God, see, you don't hear me? I yell it like everything. Hey. Next time I carry a bomb with me, I throw it at you. No, you have plenty to do. But this thing you have to do always, rejoice evermore. How'd you like to own a company and then have a foreman that never rejoiced? Mick and I were talking about work situations, and Mick is in a head of a company situation. But how would it be if they had somebody in that company that never rejoiced? That sat by the time clock like this and watched everybody come in. Thinking to themselves, you miserable, you've been here 15 years, I'm sick of looking at you. Punch in. You, why don't you get out of bed in time in the morning to comb your hair? Come, just punch, get out of my face, punch in. Miserable messes around here. Sick of looking at you all. How'd you like to have somebody running? How'd you like to have a minister like that? Hello, you sorry looking. Well, a minister that isn't rejoicing thinks that when he gets up. Oh, no. Oh, no, I got to get up and I got to look at all them faces out there. Same old faces. Fight out in the parking lot before they come into church. Takes me a half hour to get them in the right spirit. They've been pinching. They're black and blue all over. Hitting the kids on the head. And the, man, they're fighting all the way here. And the one, I don't want to go to church. Why do I have to go to church? Oh, Lord, I hate them all. Hey, preacher, you better start rejoicing or them people will never learn how to rejoice. Isn't that right? How'd you like to have a president that never rejoiced? Well, one thing I can say for Ronald Reagan, and I'm not here, I'm not there, if someone comes in the building, I'm a Republican, I have $10,000, I want, so am I. Yes. If somebody comes in and says, I'm a Democrat. And I think we should feed everybody. Hey, back your truck up, unload. Oh, there's people on the radio right now. Don't even, they cannot figure out whether they like me or not, but they keep listening. Keep listening. Folks, people don't want to hear about your miseries. And you know what happened to me this morning? This morning my alarm clock didn't go off. Boy, was that. Oh, they could care. They look at you with a dead look, and like I said, Friday night, yeah, well, okay, your alarm clock, you know, later for you. Then I said Friday night, I said, you know, if you're rejoicing and you're happy, I didn't use those terms because it was a different message, but it's if you're happy, and someone says, what are you so happy about? For me to know and you can find out. They're going to spend all day wondering why you're so happy. I know why he's happy. Got that inheritance. Well, why do you think he's happy? Huh? Now you got them. But see, people don't care. One care about your glum face. Did you know that? People won't run from you. Huh? Did you ever get into a grocery line? Look at these people in grocery line. Oh, no, 4,000 stamps. I always get in the line. And then you get in the line, there's a person. Give me a price on this package. That totally kills people. Always happens to me, and you try to act like you're happy. One line I was in was so bad, I got out of that line. I thought, my life is not safe in this line. I'm getting out of here. I got to laughing so hard, I had to go over and lean on the melons over there and just laugh, because it was so funny looking at these people's faces. I ain't kidding you. Now, we need plenty to do. How would you like to have someone in the hospital taking care of you that didn't know how to rejoice? Time for your shot. Oof. Huh? Believe me, that happens. Time for your medicine. I don't want it. Take it. That's one fear I have. I've given to the Lord. Someone put me in an old people's home and have someone cram these great big old horse pills down my neck and say, "How you doing?" Think about that. Do you want somebody that isn't rejoicing? People in charge should always be people that rejoice. And that's why Mick's shop is such a wonderful shop. You go in there and it's all, you get inside, and there's a happy spirit in there. I'll take that part. Give me a 2Z-9. The guy takes off. All right. 2Z-9. And off he goes. Huh? 2D-9! We ain't got it. Did you know, listening on the radio, that the customer is always right? Whether you like it or not, you rejoice evermore.
There you have it. That was episode 328, part 1, Rejoice, part 1. The original recording was December 20th, 1987. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
May God bless and keep you always. May your wishes all come true. May you always do for others and let others do for you. May you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung, and may you stay. Foundation when the winds of change shift.
May your heart always be joyful. May your song always be sung. And may you stay.